gave her directions on a road that then proved to be closed. And I just think she is, well, I want to say brick and all those other things, but so kind and good to come this weekend. I'm just delighted to have her here, as I was with Betty, with Michael. It's just lovely to have these pillars of our organisation. Well, you said it, Eileen, I did. You've just confronted us slightly because Robert and I are always convinced you're being read and you've come out in aorta flu.
It's not Margaret Owen. She's bad.
Anyway, we are here because, as you will all know, Eileen is responsible for the advent of the teacher training course into AOTOS, the absolutely central part of our mission. And the thought that she actually started this course whilst she was chairman is filling me with absolute awe, being in the position that I am at the moment. So she's going to tell us a little bit about where she came from and then about the founding of the course. And this sprang from a lovely evening at my last teacher training course in Dorset when she sat and entertained us with this story. So, Eileen, you have to remember that we're upstairs in Dorset with a nice glass of wine. And
where is it? Can I first? I must say, it's such a... It's making me weepy now. It's such a joy to be back and with you all at AOTOS. Everybody's so friendly, everybody's lovely, and I've missed you all. Anyway, it's lovely to be here, and she's so clever, this girl. She's so good. Wonderful, wonderful conference. Clever girl. She says I mustn't spend a lot of time warming.
I'm going to move you on now.
Right, okay. How many of you are... You're all singers, aren't you? Anybody who isn't a singer? I know Mike is. Oh, he's the only one. How many teach singing? Everybody? Everybody? Right. How many of you would like to teach singing but are worried about it? Oh, you're all... Oh, you know it all. And where to go? To explain to you how the teacher's course started, I've got to go back into my life, telling you a bit of my past. Don't you dare. so that you understand where it all came from. When I left Homerton, I did some singing there, but what I really wanted to do, I wanted to go to the Royal College of Music. So, without telling my father, I went to London, auditioned, and to my amazement, they offered me a scholarship. So, my God. So, when I phoned my father, I said, it's all right, Dad, you don't have to pay for it. Anyway, I was there for 4 years. And during that time, I had everything in the training of how to become a singer, a good performer, everything. It isn't there anymore. But except perhaps the teaching of singing. And it was all right, but it wasn't, I knew it wasn't right, and I didn't know what to do about this. Anyway, I sang quite a bit, arts council tours and all the usual things that you do when you've left college. And eventually, I was singing with Ian Wallace. How many remember Ian Wallace?
Yes.
Oh, lovely man. And he gave my name to Sadler's Wells. And without realising it, I had auditioned for them, and I was in. Anyway, now that would be in the March. In April, I'm sorry to have to mention this, but we had a terrible car accident. Now, that meant going through the windscreen and breaking all the essential things in your face that you need to how to use it. So, three operations later, I said, I'm sorry, I'm going to learn to sing again. But by going back to Joseph Hislop, who was my teacher then, I started relearning. And you know, the feeling was obviously bound to be because it involved the feel, the sensation you feel was quite different. So it was okay for a bit, and so I went on. And as I went on, people kept saying, oh, come on, will you give me a lesson? And I thought, oh, gosh, who am I to teach? although I'd done teacher's training at Hobbiton, eventually I did a little bit, and I thought, this is not easy, this is difficult, because everybody's different, and you have to, as that gentleman was saying, you have to readjust yourself. So eventually I was working with, people know Paul Hamburger?
Mm-hmm.
Pauly, as we used to call him. He suggested to me, because I was having coaching with him, he said, Eileen, you should teach, you know. Anyway, so after a while, I'm cutting it short, I was offered a job at the Royal Scottish Academy and at the Welsh at the same time, which was very funny. So as a Welshman, what was I going to do? So I went to Wales and started the teacher's course. It was quite a big job because it was the Welsh College in those days was, you know, not very good. So it took a lot of convincing people what was needed to be done. I wanted them to have what I had had at the Royal College, which was wonderful. Mime, drama, you weren't allowed into the opera school unless you had done Shakespeare, Sheridan, in the drama department. It was a wonderful training. Mime and fencing and everything. They don't do that anymore. Anyway, we didn't do fencing at the Welsh College, but we tried to do as much as I could with movement, drama, Alexander. They all said at the Welsh College, Alec, who's she? I remember the chappie who was the head of woodwind at an academic board saying, what's all this Alexander's technique of singing then? Because he had no idea. And I said, look, if your chaps did Alexander as well, they'd be better players. And he did eventually. Anyway.
And that must have been very innovative at that time.
It was.
That sort of thing wasn't happening.
You see, nobody realised. We had Alexander at the Royal College because Sir George Dyson, who was the principal then, I remember standing right at the back of the theatre and with two people, and they kept pointing at us, oh God, now what have I done? Yeah. And it was apparently Mrs. Barlow, who was Alexander's niece. And she lived across the road from the Royal College, if you know where it is, in the Albert Hall mansions there. And they were picking us all. I was terribly tense, terrible. You know, all this dreadful. And they said, you would benefit you. And we had no idea what we were going to. All we had to do was run across the road because they lived in the Albert Hall mansions. And so we got it really from the horse's mouth because Alexander used to live there with them. Anyway, I do as much as I can every day, Alexander. It's wonderful.
Now, you told me that if you hadn't got to joining AOTOS after 10 minutes, I was to
no, this is what I mean. And then I joined AOTOS. and my goodness, my eyes were opened, blimey. And it was in Dartington. How many of you were in Dartington? Yes. All those Americans were there. Blimey, they were good. They had all sorts of ideas, gave us, helped us, told us they would come to conferences, they would give us anything. They were wonderful. How many of you remember them? Yeah, Michael does. Yes, well, yes, some of you do. And that was very interesting.
Was this Bruce Lickley? Bruce Lunkley?
No, yes, I'm coming to that. Yes. There I met a lovely man called Bruce Lunkley. Anyway, I started talking to him about teaching. He taught in Austin, was it? Texas?
Yes.
Texas.
Yes.
Anyway, and he had wonderful ideas. So I went back to the Welsh College, and he said, I'm coming to London soon, he said, with my choir. It would be nice to see you again. So I said, right, okay. So I was in London, I met Bruce, and I said, look, you wouldn't come to Cardiff to the Welsh College, would you? Come on, to the, just do some classes. Yes, he said, no problem.
One thing I knew is very good at bribing people. Can you be telling me that I got to bribe everyone? So he started early.
Well, yes, yes, you do, really. The bribery comes in a minute. So he came to the Welsh College, didn't he, Heidi? Mm. And I had by this time started a class for the third and fourth years on the physiology, which I'd picked up a lot from the Americans, and a bit I'd done myself. You do your own bit of research. And the class I did was, I did drawings of heads and the body, and you'd be amazed how many people said, you say, where's your diaphragm? And they know nothing about the head and the soft palate or the, where the tongue went, nothing. So we started doing this class, and Bruce happened to be there. And he said, what's this you're doing? Well, I said, the fourth years are naughty because they go out of here and they start teaching singing. I was terrified to do it when I was 40. Anyway, the drama department didn't have singing lessons. So I bribed the chappie in the drama department. If I could have the drama students who wanted singing lessons, I would give the fourth year student one drama student to teach. But I would watch. That was the important thing. I had to watch what they were doing because goodness knows.
And this is the start.
This is the crux of the whole thing. Yeah. Because Bruce saw this and he said, Eileen, we're just starting this, what did they call it? Intern course. Yes. Intern course in America. You must come to see how it's done. I hope we'll be nice. then off he went, you know. But a week later, there was a letter saying, thank you very much, you know, the usual thing. And he said, incidentally, I have found money to bring you across. I thought, how am I going to do that? And anyway, a bit more bribery, and I got the money to go, and the fares, and the staying, and all that, you know. And it was revolutionary. It was amazing, absolutely amazing. The way they have organised the course. Have you all been given them?
They're going to have it on their way out.
Oh,
yes.
Well, there's a timetable on it. It showed how they organised everything. Teaching in the morning, but the main secret being that the master teacher teaches the student teacher with the guinea pig. The guinea pig goes out after 40 minutes and they discuss. But no audience, no observer watching except the master teacher.
Those of you who've been on the teacher training course, does that sound familiar?
Yes. I can remember I was chairman in Chester, I think it was. And you guys all said, oh, but we want to see how it's done. I said, look, it doesn't work. They said, oh, go on. So I said, okay then, we'll do it. So we did it with the master teacher, Ed Baird, mm-hmm. who was an American. one of you guys was a master, one of the student teachers, and a guinea pig. So I put them on the stage. It was a disaster. I mean, the master teacher became incredibly good at it, and the student intern, bless her, she was doing, am I doing the right thing? And the guinea pig was embarrassed. It was awful. So that proved to them that it doesn't work. It has to be private between you and them, and you can show how it develops during the week and how the confidence builds with the student teacher. Very. And they all kept saying, the student teacher kept saying, well, how do I know what my guinea pig's going to sing? That doesn't matter, whatever it is. You know, you're a musician, you can read, you'll be able to catch on. I bet there were songs they all knew anyway.
But so, Eileen, how did you come? You came back from America with the proposition. Presumably, were you chairman at that stage?
Yes.
Yes. So you walked into the council meeting and you said, we are going to do this.
No, sorry, no, I wasn't chairman.
No, I didn't.
No, sorry. I got off the plane in Heathrow. A friend met me, and we drove to Cambridge. I had my New York cap on, it was lovely. And we went to Cambridge to St. John's College, and I walked into the council meeting, which they were having at that point.
But that was Kenneth Bowen's time, in that case.
That was.
Was he chairman, Kenneth
Bowen? No, it was Thea Musgrave. Thea Musgrave. Thea King.
Yes.
And I said, you know, we've got to do this. And I taped it all. We had it all on tape. And messages to everybody, you know. And it took a little bit of convincing.
I bet it did.
We're going to get the money. I said, I'll find the money somehow. And anyway, Norman Tattersall said, OK, then, we'll give you £600.
So bargain, Margaret.
Anyway, we did it, but we started in somebody's house with just two master teachers, one American and Noel Barker. And that worked, everybody could see.
How many students were in the first one?
Just two.
Two master teachers.
Six
students. And lots of guinea pigs.
Yes.
It was a bit too social because no one, you know, loved his social. As you know. But
and then we heard about the two years in Caroline's house when you were telling us about the dogs.
Yes.
So yes. How come the move to Harrow? Because were you living in Harrow by then?
I lived in Harrow, so I thought we've got to make this bigger. And so I went to the powers that be, didn't know them, but they were very nice. And they liked us. They loved us being there. The music school had all those practice rooms, you know, upstairs. And there was a lovely big hall and the Steinway piano, and it was marvellous. And it was Molly's tea room. It was lovely. And it was also easy for people to come to, bribery again, people like... what was it I was thinking of?
You were talking about Joy Mammon.
Joy Mammon, and various people like that. But because they lived in London, they said, oh, right, okay, what's it all about? And the number of times I said, you'll see. They said, oh, are you sure? They weren't very sure how it was going to work. But having had them for lunch, we got them up there to do it.
So you started the timetable is very much the pattern that I continued and that Margaret has continued.
You've got
with
a
the
copy.
Teaching in the morning.
Oh, no, you will have
yes.
a copy.
How much did you expand the other bits? Because you had somebody doing anatomy and things, didn't you?
Yes. Now, when I was doing the anatomy at the college, I'll give you an example. There was one girl in particular she wasn't my pupil, but we were doing this class of physiotherapy, and I had done a drawing of the head, and showing the space, you know, that we have at the back there. And she said, oh, I see now, because nobody had told her about at all. Wasn't that right, Heidi? She was her. And it's interesting how we went on from there. We did drawing of the body, and they needn't know all the muscles that we know, but just to get, it's amazing how many people, well, when they did this to me about diaphragm, I'm like, gosh, it was terrifying. You know, so how I benefited so much from doing the physiology, I hope they did too. I went out to teach with a few more ideas about how, what our instrument is built, really. Are there any questions you'd like to ask?
Was that when you brought Mary Beth in?
Yes, Mary Beth had come American. Yes, she came to the college, to the Harrow. All sorts of people came because they lived in London.
And I mean, the people who came on the course in your time, I know that by the time I was taking it over, you were already concerned about the diversity of people who were coming. Mm-hmm. But when it started, were the pupils, the student teachers who came, were they almost exclusively AOTOS members looking for a professional development refresher course.
You would mostly, I would say, yes, mostly. There were one or two that I might have mentioned it to, you know, as a student.
But did you stipulate that they'd already been teaching for some time before they came? I can't remember
not,
what
not,
you
not
did.
Not necessarily.
But you'd rather they had.
There were some who said to me, oh, I'd love to do this, but I haven't got the courage, or and one or two did come, which was good. And at the end they said, oh yes, you see, we do need this to help us and give us encouragement to do it. It's such a special job, because when you start teaching at the Guildhall, the young ones, I thought it was so important that that was right from the beginning, that they would develop and grow with a good technique, that they knew what they were doing more, and they all developed in different ways. It's fascinating, our job.
The idea of an apprenticeship is interesting, though. Something that I didn't mention last night was that I had a lovely letter from Barry Farley. And he really apologised that he couldn't be with us this weekend. But he told me something that I mean, obviously you will know, but I didn't know, that apparently before the teacher training course was started, there was a little apprenticeship scheme going on. He remembers going in and doing a day's teaching observation. I can't remember who he said it was, but with one of the London teachers who was a member of AOTOS.
Yes, one or two of them did that. Lots of them don't like doing that.
No, yes.
One of my teachers was Eva Turner, and I said to her, could I come and sit and watch? And she didn't like it. Well, some people don't like it at all. But I mean, I knew what she was saying, but it is awkward. Some people don't want you to sit in there. How many of you would let anybody in? That's good.
We have started using it a little bit with the pathway students. Is Cheryl still here? I think she was here yesterday, but one of my pathway students went and spent a day teaching observing with Cheryl, though she's not a pupil of hers, but she's an experienced teacher in the area,
and
she's got a lot
good.
Out of it.
Yes, very good thing to do.
So, Harrow, how many people did you have on average in Harrow? You used to have
12,
teachers.
That was enough for the space we had.
It actually seems to be, I went up to 15 one year in Dornsey, but it was very tight, actually.
Yes, that's right.
And actually between 10 and 12 seems to me to be the ideal for the residential.
And we had a, Harris, who came to do physiology for
Tom.
Us.
Tom, yes.
And used a laryngoscope and showed it.
I remember going to the Bath Clinic when they opened that, Christina Schull had us in, and the first person, we were all queuing up to go, we knew they're Janice that day, but the person who got there to have the laryngoscope was Molly. We were all in the back seats, we didn't get there. Yes, absolutely. Eileen, thank you so much. It's just lovely to put it into context and to remember such a wonderful tradition that you started at such a central part of your
history. It goes on and on and on.
It will go on and develop, I promise you that. And I think And I think that this essential thing of the primacy of the developing teaching is such a valuable one. And indeed, three of the students that we've got coming this afternoon to sing for choral are, well, I have changed it from guinea pigs to pupil singers.
I know, they don't like the word.
But they are three guinea pigs, actually.
Yes,
and, you know, this is typical. And again, I know that in Wiltshire, everybody's missing the course. I still get stopped in the market saying, can we come and sing for your course? Because having had it there for 8 years, they got used to getting their three free singing lessons during the summer. So
and
again,
Heidi brought them all to Harrow.
Yes, Heidi did that for Harrow. And then Joy is now starting it from wherever they're going to set.
And I may say, I don't think I could have done it all without Heidi.
No, well, I was the stupid guinea pig who did it all on my own. But then, you see, I had Caroline when we started.
Oh,
Caroline said, all going to the pupils, and then she went and died on us.
Sorry.
Anyway, Eileen, thank you so much, and I'm sure everybody will want to talk to you at coffee time and things.
Whatever, yeah.
Thank you for thank you.
Does it make you feel old to hear everybody?